Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
I'm back, baby. 4 weeks in Europe for my honeymoon, and it is cold.
Yeah, look, it's not warm. Firstly, happy birthday.
I know Thank you. You
finally turned 32.
33.
Oh.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm old.
Ooh, brother.
I know, that's, yeah.
I mean, it's fun having, like, the last time you had, like, the same, it was 22, because 2-2.
Yeah. We also missed an anniversary, Tim, so happy 8 years of working together.
Yeah, sorry, condolences.
8 years.
Oh, sorry, are we celebrating?
Oh, okay.
Not condolences?
Good for condolences you. Condolences for you, I
Good
guess.
Good for you, my guy. So,
like, some big milestones while I was away.
Quick snapshot, like, because obviously, like, over the next couple of weeks, I'm sure you'll
hear some of the highlights.
Peppering.
Yeah.
But, like, you were on your honeymoon. Like, mm-hmm. what's in your world right now, coming back down to reality?
We did 4 countries.
That's good.
For those who weren't following along on my socials, I become like a bit of a travel influencer when I go away, in my own mind. No one else's. So I just posted everything. So if you haven't been following along,
I'll be honest, I dropped off. I'm sorry. There's a lot of stories.
I knew you would. We started in Paris and then we went to Spain and then Croatia and then finished in Italy. So it's been a lot. I'm like 90% pasta at this point. I've just so much pasta.
Were you light on beforehand? Like, I haven't been to Europe in 10 years and I'm mostly pasta.
Well, this is the thing. Europe has changed a lot in the 10 years since I've been there, Tim.
When was the last time you went?
I went, God, when I was 22. So, yeah like 11 years ago now.
With your best mates and stuff?
Yeah, it was my two best friends. We went on, like, you know, we did the classic, like, Kentucky trip around. I was staying in hostels. Like, this time, very different.
You were only somewhere for, like, 24 hours, 48 hours max back then.
Yeah, absolutely. So, this time we were, you know, the shortest time we had in a place was 4 days. And so, you know,
That's
really
great.
Got to see the places. Was really slow traveling.
We've obviously caught up since before the show. We decided not to just raw dog a 3 p.m. today. And you were saying that you felt so comfortable with the pace that you were going that you could still have a 5-hour nap in the middle of the day.
Yeah, 100%.
And still see everything, which
today's
is
my
wild.
First day in 4 weeks where I haven't had a nap in the middle of the day. I'm pulling it all day up.
You're so brave.
But it's a really different way of seeing Europe. I feel like every place I went to, because most of the places we went to, I'd already been to.
Right.
But my husband's never been to Europe. So I allowed him to pick the itinerary because I was like, I've seen all this. You tell me what you want to see.
You allowed him?
Well, because the only place I really wanted to go back to, and I was desperate to go back to, was Italy. So I was like, you pick everywhere else that you want to see. And a lot of the things he planned was very much based on the Da Vinci Code.
Great film. Did he go into the Louvre and just, like, start looking behind doors and, like, oh, where's the secret
treasure? He loved it. Absolutely loved it. But things are very different when you're not traveling in a hostel. Like, staying in hotels, way nicer.
Are you telling me there wasn't just, like, a 20-year-old Queenslander named Wayne who'd wet the bed as, you know, as an adult? And you go, sorry, guys.
There wasn't people stumbling in at 3 a.m. in the morning.
It was you. You were the people stumbling in.
We weren't going anywhere at 3 a.m.
To your private room. La-di-da.
And not eating the hostel free breakfast. Breakfast was elite, like actually going out for a breakfast.
Oh, no. If anything, if I was to go to Europe for my honeymoon, I would do all the things you did, but then I'd go to the hostels for the free brekkie. That was fantastic.
But it was really fun. And we met a lot of incredible people along the way. Oh. We did a whole bunch of, you know, little tours and food tours and bar crawls.
Oh, so you're better than us now.
Okay.
You've come back cultured.
What do you mean?
Where's the accent?
I was already cultured.
Where's the accent? In Barcelona, you know, like... It's 4 p.m. We're just sitting there having our fifth batgina, which is, if you don't know, obviously, because you haven't been to Barcelona. It's a very famous local drink.
My family came over on Saturday because we landed on Saturday morning. My family came over to see us.
Dropped you off back in Geelong.
Yeah, and I said, "Oh, sorry guys, we're pretty tired. It's, you know, it's 11 p.m. in Rome right now." And my sister was like, "Oh, okay, we get it. You went to Italy." Yeah. But it was. I was tired.
Yeah, very brave to be doing, as you said, an all-dayer today.
Yeah.
Can you do an all-shower where you completely are attentive
for
the whole
show?
I'm in.
Right. Well, good. Locked in.
This is Tim and Jess.
Would you say, Jess, we're a passionate show about midnight?
We do talk about bins a lot.
And I know that I've heard on the Brekkie show they chat about midnight a lot. But, like, literally, it's one of those things. It connects us all.
It's our point of difference.
Like, why is it? Isn't it funny, like... When you find someone who's got a different bin night to you, you go, like, oh, mine's Monday. Like, mine's tonight. And I prepare. Before I went to work today,
mine's Wednesday,
like,
night.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd prefer a Wednesday.
Sure.
Because, like, before I came to work today, I was like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that because I'm not going to get home in time. It'll be too dark for me to, like, fold down the cardboard and blah, blah, blah. And like, I feel like it connects us across Geelong. Like, get your bins out, hashtag. We don't, Will from the newsroom, he's come in and talked about how he lives in Leopold, and for a while, someone was parking in front of his bins
and it wasn't getting collected.
And it's so frustrating.
That's rough.
So I think that's been happening on my street.
Oh.
I live on Armstrong Creek, in Armstrong Creek, sorry. And what I've noticed, and I think I've started, this is like how deep in I am. I'm pretty sure two houses down from us, someone has a boyfriend who only visits on Monday nights because there's an extra car out the front. It's always the same car.
I'm becoming such a Mrs. Mangle on the street.
This guy has a white van and he parks there. It's only Mondays. He's only there. He seems like a nice guy.
Okay. Don't you have like seven cars in your front yard?
Yeah, no, we sold one. So okay. We're getting rid of them. Trust me, I want them gone. But so because I park out the front of our house when I can't use the driveway if my wife decides not to go into the garage and cause chaos in the house.
Yep.
Which means I can't put, because I've got a four-wheel drive. So it's like, all right, well, now I've got to essentially have my ass in my neighbor's driveway to have enough space for the bins to get collected. And if this guy visiting his girlfriend puts the bins, he parks
have
in front of us.
Have you seen the guy? Like,
he's so nice. That's why I can't yell at him. But I thought my end of the street was where the drama was happening.
Okay.
But it's not even drama. Every week, I can't remember the last time it didn't pick it up. So whether his car moves in the morning by the time, it's always getting picked up. Later down the street, saw this morning. Someone has started putting out their bins on the road and putting street cones so that people can't park there.
You're kidding.
Because I reckon
they've gone out and bought cones.
I think their bins have been missed that many times where they're like, well, I'm over this. I'm sick of this. I'm going to get some cones. And no one can park there now.
Cones are amazing.
Can you do that? Can you section off
a bit
of the
smart.
Road?
That's smart. I'd be all about that.
But like, do you respect a cone?
Because we have communal car parks because I'm at the end of a court.
Yes.
And so sometimes I'll get home and my spot is usually on the left-hand side. There's two spots. But sometimes the neighbours have visitors. And so by the time I get home at night, my car spot's taken.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But a cone system, I'd be all about that.
But you can't be chucking. Because if someone's using it, like how busy is your life? Where you're like, well, I couldn't park in my spot.
Yeah, usually I just park in the driveway. It's
clean out your garage. We've talked about this. 52232955. Can you put cones out on bin night to make sure your bins get picked up?
That's just genius. I you can't be mad about that. It's pure genius.
I'm not a movie. You know that I love the law. I'm a big law boy. I like a rule.
Yeah.
But I expect, like, they're not even like, they don't look like road work cones. It looks like.
Do they look like witches' hats?
It looks like witches' hats from soccer training.
Okay, sure.
It looks like, oh, guys, all right, super netball, let's get this sorted. I want the goal attacks up here. I want the defenders down there.
Are they, like, at least the orange, like, witches' hats?
They're orange, but they wouldn't go higher than halfway up your shin.
Okay, so they're quite small.
Yeah, so I literally, if this was infringing my parking, I would just move them.
Would you?
Because, they're not traffic controls.
How do you know?
Because they have real cones. They're not running an Auskick program on a Sunday. 52232955. Can you put out cones on bin night to make sure your bins get picked up? Is this a tactic that we like seeing across Geelong? This is going to be handy because Lloyd from Armstrong Creek, he's in the area. So you know how it is in the creek, Lloyd. Like, it's pretty
tight.
Are
these your cones, Lloyd?
Look, my question is why? Like, we need to. Jim, you understand, like, you know, it's not that jam-packed in our street that you can't put them out, and then someone parks in your spot, put them in your driveway. Like, any traffic cones? Like, that's confusing.
I've never even considered this. Because I know the bins are going to get picked up at 6 in the morning, so it happens between 6 and 8 a.m., could you just put it in the middle of your driveway if you know your car's not going to move? I've never considered that.
Yeah, and I do that all the time.
I'm just a boy, though, Lloyd.
I never even thought to put it in the middle of my driveway.
Because normally it seems like that's
I mean,
wrong.
I don't move my bins,
of course
so.
Not. Lloyd, do you think you can put cones out to save spaces so that your bins definitely get picked up?
I don't understand.
So you would move
Lloyd's
a cone?
Confused.
Come on. We had this debate a couple of weeks ago about putting cones in car parking spots. I just don't see it's relevant.
Look, there's cones everywhere. This is my problem, Lloyd.
I think I'm just going to keep a stack of cones in my car just for, you know, for fun.
Well, this is where we ended up a couple of weeks ago. Lloyd's right. We ended up with people calling up and saying they got 10 cones in the back of their car because they've been taking them off the street when people have been putting them out there.
Genius.
It's not genius. It's literally stealing.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, you and I have had this conversation many times over the last couple of years in particular. When do you think the prime of your life is?
Oh, I know exactly when the prime of my life was. I think I was 20.
Was. So you feel like you've already hit it.
Mate, I feel like you get a couple of primes. I think I think you might get, like, for me, I think it was like 27 or 28 or 27 to 28.
Sure.
I feel like you get that again. Maybe it's like every, like...
I think you're about to hit your second prime because I hit my prime at 27. I thought I wasn't going to get better than that.
Right.
And then 32 was an excellent
You've
year
had
for
an
me.
Excellent I 18
had a
months.
Ripper year.
There's been an Ed Sheeran concert. There's been, you didn't really care about going, but you went.
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift did really care about it. You went. Proposed to, engaged.
Japan.
Holiday to Japan, married.
Honeymoon in Europe. I've really had a great 12 months. Yeah,
if you
it's
compl-
been amazing.
If you complain, I'll be upset.
The prime of my life currently is 32.
Honestly, that's a year and a half away for me. That's terrifying that I have to cram that all in. But, you know, try my hardest.
There's been a new study done of Australians, and apparently a whole bunch of Aussies think that 51 is when they hit the prime of their life.
I mean, it makes sense.
Does it?
Like, because to me, that's when, like, you've probably been working long enough to feel really, hopefully, secure in your role. Maybe you've got a good amount of leave built up, good amount of savings.
I love that that's the thing you think is the prime.
But, like, the things that allow you to do the things that you want. Sure. So you can be like, yeah, I will take 3 months off and go and do this. Or maybe my kids are starting to have kids of their own if they were able to, or if that's a situation. Maybe, like... You're getting close to your mortgage being paid off?
The reasons that a lot of people, in fact, more than 70% said that they reached their life satisfaction peak at 51 was because they believed they had wisdom, life experience, and life satisfaction at the age of 51.
I mean, I feel like I've got that at 31. Like, I'm ticking all those boxes, probably to lesser levels than what these 51-year-olds are ticking.
What about the job security?
I feel mostly secure in my job. I don't like that you have a say in my career. Like,
what do you mean?
You could just like go off one day and I'd be like, we got to get that Tim and Jess show off the air. You could really just spiral the whole thing. So like I feel 95% job secure, but you're the outlier there. It could bring me down.
I like that I hold that much power over you.
It goes both ways. I could ruin it for you. I mean, like... I understand.
I like knowing that I'm going to hit another peak at 51. That's exciting. That's something to look forward to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. Like,
make it to 50.
I hope so, mate. Please don't. Don't not. What I like is that maybe, like, in my brain, when I had my peak from 27 to 28, I go, well, maybe 37 to 38.
Oh, 47 you think you get it every 10 years?
Every 10 years. Because, like, when you turn, like, 17 to 18, like, you're really starting to, like, grow into a little adult. Like, when you turn 18, you can finally, like, you know, all the things you've wanted to do. You can go out properly clubbing and you can drink and driving.
I think my peak is every 5 years.
Yeah, it would be for you, wouldn't it? Would be.
No, I just think everyone has it every 5 years. If you feel like you're down on your luck right now, I think a peak's coming for you. Every 5 years it comes around.
I feel like, isn't there something like every 7 years the cells in your body, like they're completely... new cells, like the ones, like a cell has 7 years.
Oh, like the regeneration.
Yeah, so like every 7 years, you're technically, like physically, a new version of yourself because all of your cells have replaced themselves and like the old ones are gone and these are all new ones. So maybe it's like your prime, like it's the new version of you and it's like, hey, this life thing ain't so bad. But then
I regenerate every 5 years. So
you regenerate every 2 years, mate. I can't remember in the 8 years I've known you when it hasn't been
everything's
a prime
coming
of your life. 8 years straight of prime. I'm happy for you, but it hurts.
Nah, it sounds it. Tim and Jess, the podcast. At the risk of talking too much about my holiday, I need to bring this up because me and my husband, we just come back from Europe, and unfortunately we fell for quite a few little tourist traps.
Now, I would say you're not book smart. I don't think you're street smart either.
So what kind of smart am I?
Yeah, smart lady. I don't know. But you're definitely not street smart.
Sure.
Which means by default, I'd have to
We
say
didn't get pickpocketed, which was great.
Huge for you.
That is huge for me.
Most girls don't have pockets. So yeah. That is Doesn't make it a lot easier.
We were very
easier.
Vigilant with our bags.
Right.
But it was when we first landed that we really fell for something. And I think it's because we had just landed after, you know, 27 hours in transit or something.
A long time on a plane.
It was a long time. And we landed into Paris. And we were staying like pretty much directly across the road from the Louvre. So you can imagine like all the cafes right around the edge of the Louvre.
Okay.
Very expensive.
Oh, that makes sense.
So expensive.
And we're like, hey, there's the Louvre.
Well, the Louvre's right there. Like, and a good like rule of thumb is if you are right next to an attraction, maybe just walk like a little, at least 5 minutes away because you're going to pay the extra tourist tax. And that's what we did. So we landed, we put our bags at the hotel. We couldn't check in for a couple of hours. We're like, is there a cafe around the corner? And the lovely lady at the front desk said, there's one just around the corner. It should be open right now. Perfect. All right.
Huge on not doing a French accent there.
Right?
To set the scene. Great.
So we go around to this cafe and all my husband Akshay wanted was a glass of orange juice. And the whole menu was in French because of course it was. We were in France and we saw citron.
Oh, right. Right? Hey, citrus?
Citrus. Right? It's got to be orange juice. Wrong.
Oh, no.
So they bring out my cappuccino because I went safe. I was like, cappuccino, that's a word I know. I'll have a cappuccino. They bring out my cappuccino and they bring out a glass the size of my head.
Right.
Of lemon juice.
Ooh.
Straight.
Yeah, that's citrus too. That is citrus by law.
Straight lemon juice. Tim, this glass cost 12 euros. Conversion.
That's like 24 bucks.
$20 Australian. For a glass of straight lemon juice. And then they gave us a bottle of water to, like, I guess, water it down.
Well, you'd hope.
Did
they think he was the cleaner? And they were like, oh, here's some citrus. Yeah, all right. Get cleaning. Go on.
I looked at Akshay and I was like, did you want lemon juice? He's like, I thought citron meant orange. I was like, I don't speak French. It was just, we fell into this incredible tourist trap. $20.
Language barrier is tough.
So our first meal was a coffee and a glass of lemon juice, and it cost us like $35 Australian.
He's just sitting there.
It was obscene.
He's sitting there with pursed lips like, oh, I'm so happy we're on a honeymoon.
We had to drink the whole thing. It was $20.
Oh, yeah. This is so good, babe. I'm so happy we came here. How much did we budget a day again?
We blew the budget that day. I'll tell you what. But I thought on 52232955, make me feel better. Because we fell into a bunch of tourist traps. And I know that other people do too. You don't have to be in Europe to fall into tourist traps.
Oh, no.
52232955. What's the biggest tourist trap you've fallen into? Victoria from Melbourne, you went to Europe last year?
Yeah, same thing. same thing. I think every day I got scammed for something.
every day?
Yeah, I got the gypsies. I got everything.
Oh, my God.
I didn't get confident, which is good. Yeah.
It's but so hard when they come up and talk to you, Victoria, and you're like, you don't want to be rude, but you kind of have to be a little bit rude, or you do get done.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I will sign your form. Yes, I understand. Yeah, deaf picture in that. Hang on. Wait. You're not deaf. Wait, you can understand everything I'm saying. you know, after they're asking you for 20 euros, you're like, oh, my gosh.
Victoria, why are you signing forms? Yeah, like, travel genius.
They put clipboards in your face, Tim.
They're standing on the bridge. You can't pass them. They're just, it's crazy.
Victoria, something happened to you in a taxi as well, didn't it?
Yes, I got it, you know, from the airport, got in the taxi straight away. He puts 50 euros on the meter. And I argued the whole way, and eventually we got to our destination, which was around the corner from the airport. And he was like, "Fine, what do you want to pay?" And I was like, "Nah, there's 20," and just got out. I was just so sick. I was like, "Take me back home. I'm so sick of Paris."
Victoria,
you
poor thing.
I paid the 12 euro lattes without looking at the, you know, the menus, and
nothing hurts more than paying 12 euros for a latte that's tastes terrible as well, because they just have not figured out how to do coffee.
And
over
I guess
there.
You could get a better one on Paco.
Yes, 100%.
You just don't seem built for overseas, mate. It is limiting, I understand, but. Yeah, just maybe just stay at home. I think it's probably a better idea for you.
Turns out Rosie from Mount Dunedin also got done in around Pisa, was it, Rosie?
It was Pisa, and it's so embarrassing. But my sister and I, we went to Pisa. We did, like, the obligatory photo and stuff, and then we were a bit peckish, so we went to get pizza. The pizza was very expensive and very revolting, so we decided just to leave it. But as we got up to go, we could hear the chef in the back screaming, going, why? And then we're like, oh, my God, we're in trouble. Exactly. And the waitress ran out to us and was like, was something wrong with your food? The chef's upset. And we're like, oh, my God, just lie. And we're like, no, we're very full. We gave her a huge tip. And then we're like, hopefully that will help the situation. I ducked to the toilet and then planned to flee. But on the way back from the toilet, we found a huge bin and it was full of like the oven pizza boxes.
Like the ones you buy from the supermarket.
Yeah, yeah. So like they'd been buying frozen pizzas and cooking them and making people pay like €20 for them and then scaring more money out of them at the end of the meal.
That is crazy.
I love the commitment from the chef where he's like, all right, come on. Cry. You can cry. You can cry. You can act upset.
Why? Yeah. How will I afford to send my children to school?
You're not the only one. I'm fairly sure they like made an absolute heck ton of money out of like everybody.
Oh my God.
That's a great business model. I might start up Tim's Pizzeria and see how it goes rising.
This is Tim and Jess.
Before we get out of here, I need to address, I guess, some kind of elephant. Like in the
elephant?
Room, in the room. Like,
okay, I put on a bit of weight while I was overseas, Tim. Okay. No need to call me an elephant.
Yeah, okay.
It was just the pasta.
I know we were just speaking about it. Like every day is the prime of your life and everything's coming up, Jess. That's a catchphrase we have off air.
Yeah.
If everything's going wrong, at least everything's coming up, Jess. But because it's your first show back. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. You've made it through the whole show without having to have a nap.
I pulled an all-dayer.
Yep.
Aren't we proud of me?
And all right, you could have just stopped, hey? You could have just stopped it. Yeah. Then you had to ask if we're proud. We're not. Look, and I know people, like including myself, we're absolutely rapt that you're back.
Oh, thanks,
so fun.
Man.
We're appreciative of Sarah Marie. That was fun, but we're stoked to have you back here. I've been worried. Honestly, for a month, right. I've been worried.
Why?
Because you've been on your honeymoon, like you're saying, and I think a lot of people maybe listening.
I went from planning my wedding to planning my honeymoon, and now I'm done.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Pack
so
her up,
what? This is what I wanted to bring up. What? Who are you now? Like, what's your personality? Because you're not planning a wedding.
I'm not the wedding girl.
You're not
in my fiance era.
No, you're not.
I'm not in my travel era.
No, you're not.
Because I can't afford to ever travel again after going to Europe.
From an outsider's point, what's next for Jess?
It's a great question. I did have a bit of an existential crisis on the plane, like both on the way there and on the way home.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about being in a cabin. Like a
depressurized cabin.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the lack of pressure.
That literally, like, I had just like a mental breakdown.
Right.
Both ways.
Well, that's
and
good.
My husband was like, what's up? You were on the way to Europe. Like, are you okay? I had a midlife crisis. I was like, what do I do now?
Midlife?
Okay.
You're making 64?
I hope so.
I'm stressed. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're saying if this is your midlife crisis, please. That's too early for you to have a midlifer. You're in your prime, Jess. How can
I am
you
in my prime.
Midlife
well,
crisis?
That's it. I'm in my prime right now. It's only downhill from here.
So what are you, like, have you considered, I know you're, like, studying, but, like, that'll finish.
Okay.
That'll finish in a year. You'll be done.
Yes, hopefully. So, I'm hoping that being able to give everyone, other people, the experience I just had will be my new purpose. Because I'm becoming a celebrant.
Oh,
so
I thought you were saying you were an Instagram influencer again. And I was like, no. Because, like, on air, like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, as the personality that we know and love and have come to expect of, like,
oh, mate,
how good's my life? I'm getting married. I'm going on a honeymoon.
You're still going to get the same old Jess.
No, but what are you going to talk about?
Like, my husband. We've
got shows to fill, baby girl. Like,
people are going to get sick of hearing me talk about my husband.
Yeah, I know. I've got a wife. They do. They get sick of it. So you got to, what's next?
Well, you had a son, so.
You know, but don't do that.
I'll just cook a human.
No, that's so much. I don't want to put that on you ever. What about something else?
Or didn't you have a son just so you had something to talk about on the radio?
Yeah, and then someone was like, man, you don't talk about your kid a lot on the radio.
You really don't.
I was like, I don't want to shove him down everyone's throats. So yeah, maybe get a hobby. I don't know. Like
a hobby?
Yeah, find something to do.
No, do you know what? My husband decided that when we were overseas, he was
Sorry, just quickly interrupt. It sounds like it's going well 2 months into your marriage. My husband decided.
He just said. Because we were overseas and we met this couple and they were like, they were this really wealthy couple. I don't know.
Were you looking in a mirror?
How dare you?
Yes.
They were from California and they owned two houses in California.
Oh, nice.
And they were telling us about their two houses, one in Malibu, one in Central California somewhere. Anyway, they were overseas on their, you know, little jaunt, their yearly jaunt.
Yearly jaunt to
Europe. And they were telling us how every time they travel anywhere, they go golfing because their mutual hobby is golfing. So Akshay has decided that we are going to be a golfing couple. And when we go traveling places, we're going to go golfing.
I mean, that's good for you because I've played golf with both of you and you're way better than your husband. So that's, you should take that.
Yeah.
That's a huge win. All right. Jess the pro golfer.
Come on. Oh, thanks guys. You're the best.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.